Many people claim to love God. If you're here this morning, despite the snow at all, most likely you're one of those people who have claimed to love God. How do we really know if somebody loves God? Is there a way to tell? How do you know yourself that you love God? And you may think you love God, but does God know so? This morning I would like to continue our series in love by exploring what the Bible says about loving God. We're going to answer these three questions. Why should I love God? What does it mean to love God? And how can I let God know that I love Him? To answer these questions, we're going to be looking at different texts of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The text will be displayed on the screen, but feel free to follow them in your Bible so you can look at the context and make notes as the Spirit speaks to us this morning. If there is an activity that is worthy of your time and resources, it's loving God. You want to make sure you're doing it right, not just that, but also that you are excelling at loving God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us what love is. Thank you that we were able to look last week at verses on what love is. And also thank you that you have taught us by sending your Son what love is in a tangible way, in a way where we can see that you are patient, that you are forbearing, that you forgive, that you care about others even though we might not care about you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us now to think about the way we're demonstrating our love towards you. I pray that you will help us to show this love in the way that you have requested for us to do so. And I pray that everybody here will be excelling at loving you, Lord. And I pray that you will help me as I share these passages with my brothers and sisters. And I'm praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why should we love God? There are three things I just want to share this morning. The first one is love God because He wants us to love Him. It's interesting that in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the way that God has described the relationship that we should have with Him is a relationship of love. Love transcends any relationship. It doesn't matter which relationship you're in, friends, with a superior, with someone who is a subordinate, among equals, between husband and wife, between neighbors, love can be seen. You can show love in whatever situation you are, including your relationship with God. And let's look at some ways which God has pictured a relationship with Him. The first one is what some people call the great Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word which means to hear. And it's the first word that you find in Hebrew. Hear, O Israel. It's Shema, Israel. The Lord God, the Lord is one. You have NIV. I think the NIV provides several translations. The Lord God, the Lord is God alone. But whatever it is, the most important, well, there are a lot of things in this verse. But the next phrase is what I want to focus this morning. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And this is not one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. This is just called the Great Shema. And it was quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ when they asked Him, which one is the greatest commandment? And He mentioned this one as the greatest, and the second one came from Leviticus 19. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. None of the Ten Commandments. Although part of this is also on the Ten Commandments. But notice how God wants a relationship to be. You would think, oh, in the New Testament we're supposed to love God. But what about the Old Testament? The Old Testament, he's saying Israel, which at that time was the people of God, Yahweh, and the Lord, I like better, this is the name of God. So it's just like saying Baal, but he's not God. But Yahweh, he's our God, the God of Israel, the God of his people. He is unique. He is one. There is no one like him. Some people have interpreted this one as a precursor of the Trinity, where God is a plurality in one, which could be, but because of the context, it might be that He, the Lord, is one. He's unique. Israel, listen. Yahweh, your God, is special. There is no God like Him. And what you need to do, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now He's going to explain the extent of the love that you need to have for God. The first word is, you shall love the Lord with all your heart. The heart usually has to do with the immaterial part of you. What would be your soul, what would be your emotions, your will, your desires. Everything that is within you, as David says in a psalm, should love God. Not just praise Him, but love Him. And then all your soul is just trying to emphasize the same, but sometimes soul refers also to the outer part of your body, especially in Hebrew. Sometimes there were 300 souls ready for war, and that's not talking about the inner part of man. That's talking about there were 300 bodies of 300 men who were ready to be in battle. So love your God with your whole life, with your inner being, with your body, with everything. That's what the second part refers to. And the last part, with all your strength. The word strength is the hardest word that was to translate. In English, it's the word muchness. But we don't use an article with much. It is the word that is translated exceedingly. When God created the earth, He declared that His creation was exceedingly good. That's the word translated here, strength. His creation was exceedingly, it was good to the extreme. When we talk about Sarah and how beautiful she was exceedingly beautiful. The same with Rebecca and the same with Rachel. That's the same word that is used. And the same is word when the Israelites multiplied in Egypt. They moved down, it was only 70 people, and in 400 years, suddenly there were close to 600,000 men, plus wives and every men who were ready to fight. And it says the Israelites multiplied exceedingly in Egypt. That's the same word. So it has the idea that love God not only with your inner being, with your whole life, but with everything that is to you, to the excess. Love God with your muchness. Everything that is to you, talents, whatever it is, abilities. That's the way that you need to love God. And of course, when they wanted to translate that word into Greek, to write it in the New Testament, Greek didn't have a word for it. So they used the word strength. Matthew uses the word mind. Mark uses the word you will love. And when you read it in the New Testament, we're going to look at one of the passages. It says, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and strength, or strength and mind. But the Hebrew only has one word, your muchness. It's just hard to express that word. And even here, so since in the New Testament it was translated as strength, now we have it in English as strength. But it's not just strength. It's everything to the utmost and limit that you are able to love. The New Testament struggles to express the depth of the word in this spot, as I already mentioned. And he also writes, instead of being different circles of what a person is, all of the words are used to emphasize the totality of the human being. It starts with the inner being, who you are, and then just goes out to as much as you can be. King Josiah is given as an example of someone who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with soul, and with his muchness, with all his strength. His father was a king who, for over 50 years, disobeyed God. But King Josiah, when they found the book of the law in the temple, he just dedicated the rest of his life to obey what was written in the book of the law of Moses, which the Passover had not been celebrated even after they came out from Egypt, not in the time of Solomon, not in the time of David the king, much less with the other kings that departed from God, but Josiah didn't. So there was a big revival because Josiah put his heart into loving God. Jesus brings out the same dedication of to love God. Matthew 10:37. Someone comes and asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, he could have said any other commandment, but he emphasized the most important commandment that you have is your relationship with God, and it should be a relationship of love towards God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's the word that we have a hard time translating from Hebrew. That's the first and great commandment, and then he gives a second one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God pours out his blessings upon those who love him. Basically, the job of his people is to love God. Our job is to show our love to God first, above every other relationship that we have. God blesses his people, those who love him, from physical blessings to victory against enemies, to the full extent of salvation, to length of days and abundant life. People who love God receive those blessings from God. He has a crown of life for those who love him. He preserves those who love him. He keeps his covenants and mercy with those who love him. He has prepared the things that eye has not seen and ears has not heard for those who love him. There is a kingdom promised to those who love him. When you love God, he knows you. He makes all things work together for good to those who love God. Loving God is a commandment not for everybody, but for his people. Just as we saw in the great Shema, "Hear, O Israel." It is for God's people to love God. Yahweh is our God. In our case, he is our God, the God of Israel, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. So, let me show you here it is. Here is another passage where Jesus brings out the same need for complete dedication to God. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Notice that he's using the word love again. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So the relationship to God is more than love for father or mother, more than love for son or daughter. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now he's explaining one of the ways in which you will demonstrate your love for God. And I'm going to get to that one. But first I'm just going to bring out why it's important to love God. He who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Here's the commandment for the people of God. And the Lord, or Yahweh your God, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. It is God who enables you to love him. As I said, if you don't belong to God's people, there is no way you can love God. But if you belong to God's people, he will give you the ability to worship him. This is in the Old Testament. This is not Paul writing about the circumcision of the heart. This is Moses. And Moses, even though he got all the people circumcised and following all these rules to belong to the covenant, he said, it is God who has to do the work in you. He's the one who will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. And it is God who will enable them to love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. God has allowed us to enjoy love with other people so that we can understand what He wants and expects from us. Sometimes He uses the same word that describes the union in a marriage. When He's explaining, you shall love your God, God wants us, He uses the word sometimes, you will hold fast to Him. You will cleave to Him. And it's not translated cleave. It's just translated as hold fast to or to cling to. You will cling to your God, like in Deuteronomy 30:20 or Joshua 22:5. You will love your God. You will hold fast to Him. You will cleave to God. And it's the same word that is used for the man shall leave his father and mother, and he will cleave to his wife, and they will both become one flesh. So even the relationship of love that we have, even though they are imperfect, they give us an idea of God just didn't want us to be robots obeying. Okay, He gives us a list to obey, so I'm just going to do it. God let you experience love so you know it's like, oh, I really want to do this because I really like this person and I want to be nice to this person. Therefore, I'm going to do it. God wanted us to have a passion for doing things for Him. And I think that's why the main commandment that He gave us is not, you will obey me, but you will love me. The second thing about love, loving God, He wants us to love Him. That's what He put in His commandments. But then, it is the least we can do. And I have two short verses here. One of the reasons why we should love God also is because He loved us first. We are responding to His love. It's much easier to respond with love to someone who has shown love to you. If someone has been mean to you, it's a little harder for us to show love. But God, as we talked about last week, He showed His love toward us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And in sending His Son, you can see all these qualities that Paul later described in, like in 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is. And we love Him because we understand that He has first loved us. But not only that, also, another reason why we should love God is because He has forgiven us. In Luke 7:40, Jesus is visiting a man called Simon. And Simon was a man with a lot of influence. And when Jesus came in, different people came into the house, and there was this woman who everybody knew. She was a harlot. And she was rubbing and washing Jesus' feet. And Simon thought within himself, oh, if this man were from God, he knew what kind of woman that is, and he wouldn't be touched by her. But Jesus, knowing what he said, answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. Denarii was the amount that you would make in a day. And if you have a job now, let's suppose it's about $100. So he owed $5,000. And the other one owed, oh no wait, he owed $50,000. And the other one only 50 denarii. He owed only 5,000. So one owed 50,000, one 5,000. And when they had nothing to which to repay, he freely forgave them both. You have nothing to pay me back. Tell me, Simon, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one that he forgave more. And Jesus said, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered to your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, to the woman, well, not to Simon, her sins, which are many, I know who she is. They are forgiven because she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. One reason why we need to love God, we His people, is that we have been forgiven. And just like Paul prays for several of the churches he writes to, that they will be able to understand the depth and the height and the width of the love of God. And when we understand the love of God that brought that forgiveness to us, we will be able to love Him more. The last thing I want to share is we need to love God because He wants us to love Him. He decided that the relationship He wanted with us, not with every creature, but with us, the ones who are made in His image, is a relationship of love. He is also the least we can do. He has loved us and He has forgiven us. And when you understand your sin, you'll be able to show love to Him, hopefully in a great manner. There was no way for us to receive forgiveness outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to have had sin like the harlot did in this story with Simon. Basically understanding that the same destiny that the harlot had, while she was a harlot, was the same destiny you were going to have. There was no chance for you to be acceptable before God, but Jesus Christ has provided that for you. The last thing is, how do we love God then? Well, love God and keep His commandments. Both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament emphasize the need to keep God's commandments as a way to demonstrate our love towards God. Do you love God enough to love Him in the way that He has requested? If you ask your wife, "How can I show you my love?" And she says, "Just don't argue with me, but listen to what I want to say. Be patient and listen to me." Would you then leave and buy her a blender instead, and instead of taking the time to listen to her and then claim, "I love you. I got you the best blender that I found in Walmart"? Well, God has asked us to love Him in a certain way. But many people say, "Yes, I love God, but I just love God in my own way." When God has asked us to do something one way, there is only one way that we can show love to God. And the way that He has done it is through keeping His commandments. There is no middle ground. Either you love God, or God says, or you hate Him. You cannot say, "Well, I just love God this much." Either you love Him or you hate Him. And not submitting to His commandments is the same thing as hating Him. So anybody who says, "I love God," but doesn't submit to His commandments, they hate God. Let's go to the second commandment. "You shall not make for yourself an idol, a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or water under the earth, with the purpose of bowing to them, or to serve them. Because I, the Lord, your God, I am a jealous God," and this is a God with zeal. And notice that He Himself loved His people. And He expects His people to love Him too. "And He visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Well, what's the other option? "To show in mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Either you hate God or you keep His commandments. But notice that those who love me, and you're going to see this pair all over the Old Testament, those who love God, they keep His commandments. And Deuteronomy 7, "Therefore know that the Lord your God," again, Yahweh your God, He is God. He is the true God. "The faithful God who keeps the covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with whom? With those who love Him and keep His commandments. But He repays those who hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face." Either you love God, and receive his blessings, or he will repay those who hate him. Go back to the great Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Yahweh is your God. It emphasizes the need to know the commandments, to teach it to those in your household. How can people of God in your household, if you are not teaching them God's commandments? If you are not teaching the Word of God in your household, it's going to make it almost impossible for the next generation to love God. And I think that's what happened in many of the countries that used to be Christian for a while, and then we were talking this morning in Sunday school about Europe. Europe had a time where, especially after the Reformation, where there were all these churches. England was sending missionaries to Africa. Livingston, they had great preachers like the Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon, great theologians. But now most of the churches, as I hear, they are dead churches. They're just a building. And part of it is because people expected the church to teach the next generation. But God didn't tell the church to teach the next generation about how to love God. It was the parents who had to teach the next generation about how to love God. The part that I omitted, and the first time we look at this Shema, is Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. He's unique. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your muchness. And these words which I command you today will be first in your heart. You will teach them diligently to your children, and you will talk to them while you are sitting in your house. You will talk about how to show love to God. We do this, or we are going to do this because we love God. When you walk by the way, while you are lying down, when you rise up, you will bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontless between your eyes. They will be a mark, like in between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Basically, this is not really about teaching math and all these other things to your kids. This is about teaching God's commandments so that they can love God. Many people say, oh, I love God, but they have no idea how to love God because they know nothing about the Bible, maybe just very little. Some of the latest surveys were saying that over 50% of the kids in high school now think that Sodom and Gomorrah were a couple in the Bible. They have no idea, and the thing is, how, if they one day feel guilty and they feel the burden of their sin and they want to change, how are they going to change if there is no one to turn to? There are only few people, and everything that was giving them access to the true God has been cut by whoever, by different things, government, different things. But the thing is, basically, a lot of things have been removed, and the job that God has given us is just to teach those commandments to the next generation so that they can love God. One more verse in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 10:12-13. Now, Israel, what does Yahweh, your God, require from you? What does God want from us or from His people? But to fear Yahweh, your God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him. To serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to keep the commandments, again, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you for your good. That's what He requires. That you love Him with all your heart and soul. As we mentioned last week, God, love is very important. God gives you value. Paul said, if I could speak with the tongues of men, if I could speak any language, or even speak like an angel, know the tongues of angels, but I have no love, I'm just like a cymbal that makes noise, like an instrument that is just making noise, but it has no meaning or no purpose because it's not doing it with love. It's just like a speaker, just blasting sounds. And who cares about them? Because the speaker doesn't care about me, and I don't care about the speaker either. Well, when I want people to listen to me, I do. But Basically, love is important. And we talk about Jonah. Jonah was someone who had God's words himself, but he didn't care about the people he was preaching to. He wanted them to get burned. In fact, he didn't even want to go to see them first. He was just like a clanging cymbal. God might have better just send a speaker down, because Jonah just went with no love. And the same thing with God. If I keep all the commandments, and some people say, oh, I'm doing all this, but I don't have love for God, it's not good. I'm going to give a few more examples here. But basically, what God wants us is to keep the commandments. The word keep has the idea, you use it to keep a flock of sheep, to keep a gate, that means to guard the gate. Basically, it has to do with exercising great care over them. To do them, when you're talking about commandments, then it's do them carefully and diligently. If you're going to love the commandments of God, you're going to be careful about the way that you're going to conduct your life. The more careful you are because of love towards God, is the more that you can show your love to God. You can come and sing here. You can go and sing praises to God. And it's important to sing praises to God, but the way that He chose for us to show our love is not only through praises, but actually by obeying Him. Let's go to the New Testament. This is the love of God. What is the love of God? When people have love for God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. The reason why God gave us those commandments, sometimes they are burdensome because you want to do other things because of our sinful nature that sometimes wants us to do the wrong thing. But God gave those commandments for our good. Which other nation, Israel, writes Moses, has a God who has given them commandments for their own benefit? The other nations, they have to make up their own ideas with their own gods on how to worship them. But Israel got commandments directly from God to protect them in all their relationships. The relationships in society, the relationship in their marriage, all the relationships were protected under those commandments that God gave. And the understanding and the Holy Spirit that He has given us as He leads our life, for us to live our lives as believers, is for our good. We just need to obey Him, and that's part of loving God. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So who loves Jesus? You said you love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. We sang this morning. Well, he who has my commandments and keep them is he who loves me. And then we're going to probably talk next week about loving one another. That was Jesus' commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. But he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then one more time in the same chapter, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And so it doesn't matter if someone tells you, I love God. You just need to see, are they keeping God's commandments? Are they keeping God's word? Doesn't matter what you say. As we always say, even in our relationships, I don't care if you tell me if you love me, if you don't do what I want you to do for me. If you love me, you're going to try to do some things for me. So, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. False prophets and doctrines will try to take us away from the love of God. In fact, when we're not loving God, our love is going to be shifted to something else. And that's what we need to watch out for. Because when we shift our love that we are supposed to give to God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our muchness, and we direct that to something else, that something else becomes an idol. It doesn't matter what it is, it becomes an idol. And God has even thought about a plan. If there arises among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, so if someone who says, oh, I have God's power, listen to me, I'm going to give a sign, and the sign comes through, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, just as he said it, which he spoke to you saying, let us go after other gods. So, see, I have the power. Come, let's go and not love Yahweh. There is this other God which is more powerful than Yahweh or whatever. He said, let's go and love something else other than God. And he's doing signs and they are coming through. Gods which have not, you have not known. And he said, let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Because the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord. So God sometimes even sends you tests to see if you love Him. In this case, He's sending someone who can actually do miracles and said, hey, look, there is other things besides the God of the Bible who will give you the same thing you are looking for. But God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So, our danger is to move from the things of the love of God to love of self. Here's another verse from the Old Testament. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, keep His commandments, and obey His voice. Oh, and you shall serve Him. So part of loving God is keeping His commandment. You shall serve Him, and this is the cleave to Him. This is the word cleave. This is one of the verses. But that prophet or dreamer, oh, this is the continuation of that test. So when that comes, you will walk after him. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams will be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God. The New Testament. What things can entice us to move away from the love of God? Know this, in the last days, according to the New Testament, perilous times will come because men will be lovers of themselves. Something that can happen, you will move from loving God with all your heart to loving yourself with all your heart and with all your soul and with everything. Or they might move to love money instead of loving themselves. Boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. And actually, if you look at all these things, it's the opposite of what we looked at in 1 Corinthians 13. Love doesn't boast. Love is not proud. Love is doesn't behave rudely, doesn't do things that are not socially unacceptable, which here, unloving, unthankful. But here, these men are going to be the opposite of love, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So they shifted their love that should have been towards God to love pleasure. And think about what most people do in this. A lot of things we do is just for pleasure. Oh, I feel really good doing this. I feel good, whatever. Okay, so having a form of godliness, and they will appear like they are spiritual, like they are good Christians and they love God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power because they don't keep His commandments. And from such people, turn away. And this is a warning for believers. In fact, it was for Timothy. Do not keep company with them. You don't want them to entice you to, because they will become those prophets saying, see, you could do all these things and nothing happens. They will take away your love from God. So, the Apostle John also warned us, don't love the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All these things, lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Jude exhorts us, continue in the love of God. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. So there are going to be things that will entice us. Some of them might be tests that God is sending to your life. Do you really love me? Let's see. I'll give you the opportunity to disobey my commandment. But you know it's right. Do you love me? But keep yourselves, maintain yourself, continue in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Build yourself up with your most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit. We need to be aware of the doctrines that take away our joy of serving and obeying God. Even as we study the Bible, there are some doctrines that we can come up that will take away our joy of serving God. One of the doctrines is God is in control of everything. He knows the future. He knows who's going to be saved. Therefore, I don't really need to present the gospel because God will save whoever He wants anyway, whether I preach or not. And then we become Jonas. I don't care too much about... The reason why we should present the gospel to people is not because we're just obeying the commandment, like Jonah, okay, I'll go to Nineveh, you put me on a whale. I have to do it. He did. We should do it because of love. Love brings meaning to those commandments that He gave us. Then, and the opposite can be in the other, there are other churches where they say, oh, you need to preach, we need to go out soul winning and we need to present the gospel to all these people. And the person who gets more people to come to church or most people to do more conversions, they'll get a prize or they will get recognized in church in front of everybody. They will know they are the best soul winner or whatever. The only problem is you're also shifting your love for God, and instead of presenting the gospel because you love people, you're presenting the gospel because you want to be recognized as the number one boss people bringer. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. If you have an opportunity to present the gospel, do it because of love. Love people. But first, you need to love God. That is our main focus in our life. That is what God has asked us. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So, Paul is quite bold telling us the truth. If anyone doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Maranatha. O Lord, come. God's people are known because they love God. And God's people now, they love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a demonstration of God's love toward us. And if someone doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to be saved. They will be accursed. O Lord, come. The purpose of our life should be love. Love gives us a purpose and meaning so that we're not just noisemakers. God, first of all, should be the object of our affections above all other relationships, even above our relationship with our wife or our children or our father or mother. Our love for God should translate into love for people around us. Once you love God, you'll be able to love other people around you because it's the second greatest commandment. But the first commandment, the first one is love God. Just as Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, and with your all. Love God because He wants us to love Him. It is the least we can do, and keep His commandments. That is how you will truly know if you love God, whether you love God or whether you hate God. And as I said, there is no middle ground. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. I pray that You will help us to analyze our own lives and see if we have your love, our love for You as the main priority in our lives. When tests come, temptations come, help us to remember that You have commanded us to love You and to do what is best, because You know best, and what You have given us in Your commandments is what is best, that will bring no damage to Your people. There is no damage in love, but there is a lot of damage when we sin and when we shift our love from you to other things. Lord, I pray that you will help us to focus in loving you, and please keep us away from love of self, love of pleasure, love of money, or love of anything else, Lord, but help us to focus in you. Help us and teach us to love, Lord. We want to love you, and we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.